This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have Congresswoman Ann Wagner from the 2nd District here in the St. Louis area coming up here in a couple of minutes. And I'm looking forward to Mike Pesca. Mike is the co-host. I'm sorry, he's not the co-host. I almost demoted him. He's the host of the podcast called The Gist. And I found a piece on the Free Press that he wrote about a situation in Brooklyn, New York, with a police shooting. It's kind of a non-traditional type of police shooting, and there's some nuance to it that makes it interesting. And what was really interesting to me is the aspect of media bias, which is on full display in the New York Times. So Mike will address that. By the way, I sense that Mike Pesca, I don't know a lot about him, but I don't think he's necessarily totally on my side of politics, but we'll explore that a little bit later this afternoon. And we have audio cut of the day coming up. Don't forget about the fish fry. You just heard the promo for that. We're going to be at Queen of All Saints on Christopher Drive in South County this Friday. Fred will be back by then. Sue's back on Thursday afternoon. One story before Ethan's going to get Ann on the line here in just a couple of minutes. But I featured, it was either last week or the week before, we had Elliot Davis on, former Fox 2 investigative reporter. He is now doing, he's on Facebook as Elliot Davis TV, he's doing independent journalism. And from what I can tell, and from the conversation I had with Elliot a couple weeks ago, he's doing some damn good work. And here's a little story, and I don't even think I saw this in our local paper. And let's face it, the local paper is kind of worthless when it comes to stories. But we're in the final days of Tashara Jones, hopefully the final days, being the mayor of St. Louis. She's been a disaster. Her predecessor wasn't much better, but she's on her way out. At least if you believe the numbers from the primary a few weeks ago, she's going to square off with Kara Spencer next week on Tuesday, and hopefully this will be over with. But what Elliot was reporting today is that, and this is desperation, Tish crashed a meet and greet that Kara was having in the Baden neighborhood in North St. Louis. So Spencer was talking to supporters. The mayor comes and basically trolls her, stands in the corner with her arm crossed, and Elliot says that he called Kara Spencer, and here's the reaction he got from Kara. Over the last 10 years, I have run 5 campaigns, had about a dozen opponents. Never, not once, has one of those opponents crashed a meet and greet, a safe space for voters to meet and have a conversation with a candidate. I've never seen or even heard of any candidate coming into an opponent's event with a team of people in any other races until yesterday. Last night, Tashara and her crew, including a city-paid security detail, crashed a meet and greet hosted for me in Baden. When informed this was an opportunity for residents to hear from me, she refused to leave and instead started walking around the seated crowd and introducing herself, eventually seating herself in one of the audience chairs. It was intimidating and insulting to the folks hosting, to me and my team. The lack of decorum was frankly shocking. I mean, that in Elliot posted pictures of the mayor. There were some pictures that were posted by a guy by the name of Wayne Phillips. That is unbelievable. And that is desperation. It's really embarrassing. But let's face it, this is something that Tashara Jones has going for her. She's embarrassed the city. She's embarrassed herself. We know the travel scandal that came out. She paid no attention to city services. She pulled the race card at every turn. I was reminded, and we talked about this a little bit on the roundtable last week, of a headline that was in our local paper in the aftermath of her election. And let's not forget, by the way, the first thing that Tashara Jones did, the first damn thing she did, was go to the workhouse and talk to criminals that first weekend in office. And she did it with Cori Bush and Kim Gardner. Two of them are gone. And there was a headline at the time in the Post-Dispatch that said, this is from 2020 on the 6th of August, 2020. And it said, a wave of black girl magic. And it featured Tashara. and Corey and Kim Gardner. And what I said last week was a wave of black girl magic. Abracadabra, ladies and gentlemen, to quote Lady Gaga and her new album, they're almost all gone. They've almost all disappeared, and that's what we can hope for. And we'll talk much more about that, certainly, on the roundtable on Friday. Okay, I think we got Congresswoman Ann Wagner on the line for a little conversation about politics and beyond this afternoon. How are you, Ann?
I am great. I'm doing well. We're back here after a week back working in the district, and we've gotten right to it. I've had financial services hearings today. I've got a worldwide threats intel hearing tomorrow. We're teeing up legislation. It's going well.
Well, let me kind of start with the one of the pieces of news of the day was this. You know, I guess this string that got sent out. There was a reporter, Jeffrey Goldberg from the Atlantic, that ended on that. There were some questions that were posed to Tulsi Gabbard and John Ratcliffe this morning. Do you have any insight on that or any thoughts? Obviously, it was a mistake. I think that at this point they're admitting it was a mistake, saying it won't happen again. But what kind of concerns do you have there?
Well, you know, I sit on the Intelligence Committee, and I'm the only one from Missouri and certainly from the Midwest. There are only 13 Republicans and 10 Democrats on the House version of, it's called HPSI, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Today, CISI, which is the Senate Intelligence Committee, basically, had their hearing. And I know that this came up. We're gathering information and facts, I can tell you. And I know that the Armed Services Committee is planning to investigate the matter. I know the National Security Council is. And so I'm going to reserve some of my judgment until all the facts, you know, come out. But I am going to say this. Bottom line, the Houthis, which are a terrible, awful terrorist proxy of Iran. The Houthis are dead. Our U.S. military personnel did their job, and they got back safely. So as far as I'm concerned, that's what really matters here. Are there lessons to be learned? Yes, I am sure that there are, and I'm sure there will be. So we'll see.
You know, and I'm not in the business of giving anyone a pass. It seems to me like it's, you know, something serious that needs to be addressed for sure. But to me, a lot, and I don't want this to sound like, I'm sure to some people it might sound like whataboutism, but you've got to be kidding me with, there's demands for resignations from people on the other side. We just had 4 years of some of the worst nonsense in history, lunacy, a president that was not even maybe awake on the job. We don't know what he's doing. So I think I'd take a wait and see approach on some of the demands for resignation and all that nonsense, Ann.
I hear you. And there's going to be a ton of demagoguing. I mean, we've seen it, whether they're you've got Democrats that are screaming in front of federal agencies where only 6% of the employees have been showing up for the past 5 years, whether you have them throwing themselves in front of C-17s and C-130s to stop terrorist gang members from being deported from our country that are here illegally, or whether they want to, instead of tomorrow, the Democrats actually focusing on our worldwide threats, which are many, you're going to hear a whole bunch of this crap.
I thought it was white supremacy. I thought that was our biggest threat here.
Yeah, well, no.
Confused.
It will be China. And when so here's what's going to happen tomorrow on the Intel Committee. In the House, we have one open hearing a year. Now, weekly, I am in a skiff. I spent 6 hours in a skiff yesterday, took the earliest flight I could out to get up here. But this is going to be our one and only shot to sit down in front of Tulsi Gabbard and Ratcliffe and Kash Patel and General Cruz at DIA and others to actually talk about worldwide threats. And we're going to do it in an open setting so the American public can see. And then we will also have to have a closed and classified hearing later on the same day tomorrow. So I'm going to focus on what I believe is the most, robust military threat to the United States national security, and that is China, full stop, in every way, shape, and form. And certainly I feel that way after the last several months that I have spent on this intelligence committee. So I'm going to talk about that. And as I think you and I have touched on before, the speaker and the chairman of Intel asked me to stand up a new subcommittee called the Open Source Intelligence Committee.
Right.
And this is, an intelligence discipline. And I try and explain to folks this way. I say the most well-known form of intelligence is your traditional spy, okay? And that discipline is called human intelligence, or HUMIT. I said, then you've got other ways of conducting espionage or hacking. That's called signals intelligence, or SIGINT. Then you've got things like spy satellites and mapping. That's geospatial intelligence, and that's what we're going to see mainly out of NGA West, right there in our St. Louis backyard, which we're excited about. Well, open source intelligence, or OSINT, is different from these other disciplines because it involves publicly or commercially available information, and it's everything from public social media posts across the globe, countless platforms on the internet, consumer data that's legally bought and sold by multinational companies, press clips, you name it. And we aggregate this open source material, much of it, some of it's even purchased material. We analyze it, and it becomes then actionable intel after the analysis. And 25%, believe it or not, of the president's daily brief is open source intelligence, and it is growing. It's growing with AI. It's growing with our technology and innovation, and it's the future. So, I'm gonna be talking to them about everything from America's privacy rights and that I don't want multiple different intelligence agencies spending your tax dollars and mine on the same data. Okay, let's buy it one time and share with the 18 different agencies across the IC
yeah.
or the intelligence community. So I've got a lot of different questions for them dealing with this new this new subcommittee and this new intelligence discipline of open source intelligence that we are building and crafting. And I'm going to talk about China, and then I've got some other things that I will do in the closed hearing, much of them that have to do, and I can tell you this, in what is my area of responsibility, which deals with Japan, South Korea, North Korea, Mongolia. So it's an interesting hotspot area that I'll be asking some very specific and classified questions of our intelligence community.
Just so, going back a couple minutes here, when you say a skiff, I never like to lose the audience. That's like one of those secret rooms that you go in, right? And you can look
yes.
at classified documents, right? Exactly.
It is completely sealed up. It's as I said, 6 hours yesterday. And last week, one of the days I was over at Scott Air Force Base down in their skiff getting briefed on many of their activities that they're doing over at Transcom. So, I'm spending far too much time in windowless, doorless, secure.
Yeah.
I can't even open this door. It's so heavy. and hearing scary things that at 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and really can't.
Yeah, I get claustrophobic, I think, for sure. I want you to talk about the F-47 fighter jet. That you kind of referenced it. That's a pretty big deal, isn't it?
It is a big deal, and we were holding our breath. I am so excited, and it's incredible news that we heard. President Trump in the Oval Office, along with Secretary of the SecDef Hegseth, announced the new F-47 fighter jet, and it's going to be built by our Boeing in St. Louis, and this is literally the sixth generation stealth fighter jet, and it's our whole next generation. It's going to allow us to have the kind of air dominance that we need and to go toe-to-toe with China and then some. And we beat out Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman for this. We've been working on it for probably 5 years. So it's exciting news, and not just for the fact that we're going to initially pump in $20 billion of economic growth into the St. Louis region, but over the lifetime of this fighter jet, it'll be hundreds of billions of dollars. This will replace our F-18, which I fought for over a decade at Boeing. But it's also the defense industrial based. We have a lot of different companies that do the logistics behind in the defense area that are suppliers in the space.
Sure. All across the country, I'm sure.
And they're all down in the valley in different portions of our region, and they all feed into this next generation. Sixth generation stealth fighter jet. So it's really exciting, and it's key for our national security. But the fact that it is going to lift up our local economy in ways I can't even say, and I'm grateful. I will say I'm as grateful as can be to President Trump for trusting, the hardworking men and women here of our great state to build this aircraft, and it's going to be the most advanced stealth fighter jet in the world, and we're going to do it right there in St. Louis, Missouri. So it is very, very exciting and big news.
Yeah, absolutely. Congresswoman Ann Wagner, let me ask one question about, I had Mike Gonzalez on yesterday. Mike's over at Heritage, and he is going to be testifying. When you're doing your intelligence hearing, he's going to be before Marjorie Taylor Greene and Doge, and he's going to specifically be talking about NPR and PBS and defunding them. Have you given much thought to that particular issue, Ann Wagner?
No, I mean, when it comes to NPR, I mean, to the extent that they can be privately funded, they probably need to be. And I think you're going to see greater push in those kinds of public-private partnerships to see that those spaces privately funded. Doge is at it, and they're doing incredible things in terms of waste and fraud and abuse. I mean, my gosh, look at the new announcement on the Department of Education here to make sure that our tax dollars are used effectively.
Right.
I mean, they are literally going to distribute many of the functions that happen at the Department of Education now up here in D.C. to other federal government agencies. For instance, the Small Business Association, SBA administration, they're going to take over student loans. USDA will take over the student lunch program. And most of all, we're going to do what I think is so important for students in the classroom and education. And by the way, let's just be honest here, our national test scores, as they are compared to the rest of the world, are abysmal, especially in the STEM proficiency. So what they're going to do is return a whole lot of this education department workings to state and local governments.
That's important.
School
yeah.
districts.
It is important. I had forgotten even, I've reminded the audience of this, but that thing wasn't even created until I was 14 years old. The year that I moved here to St. Louis, 1979, that's when the Department of Education was created.
Wow.
So it hasn't been around forever.
And guess what? It has been around. It hasn't been around forever, but and Republicans have been saying we're going to shut it down since guess what?
The Reagan
since Ronald Reagan in 1980.
Yeah. No, I know.
And now we're finally going to do it. So he's cut it in half. He's piecemealing it out, and most importantly, getting this issue close. It's best when it's closest to the people. Let teachers, school districts, parents. Let these parents decide how they want their child educated, and that's what we're going to see. And we're seeing this happen in agencies all across Washington, D.C., and I applaud them. As I said, it has infuriated me to watch only some 6% of the workforce in these filling up these federal buildings here when we could be.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It is outrageous, and hopefully it's getting fixed. Ann Wagner, always great to have you on. I have an interesting week. I'm batching it this week because I don't know if I told you this, but I surprised Becky and Alexa with a cruise for spring break. Ann, wasn't that generous of me?
That's fabulous. Why aren't you on it?
Well, two reasons. One, because Becky and I are going to Greece in a few weeks, and this was a girls' trip. But get this. I booked it the wrong week. Rockwood's spring break was last week. They're currently on this cruise ship right now. So it was a win-win for my daughter. But how about that bonehead move from Dad?
Oh, man. And you already put the money down.
Yeah,
and
we
it was done.
Right,
and it was
exactly.
booked.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah. Oh.
So she might have to repeat, you know, fourth grade, but other than that, everything is great in our household.
It's only fourth grade, and Alexis is gonna survive, and you know what a really nice thing to do. My daughter has booked a little day getaway with me just a week ahead of Mother's Day.
It's a good thing to do.
And you know, we'll do some tea and maybe a little spa, and it's gonna be fun. And any time that I can spend a full day with one of my kids or any time with them alone is fantastic. We're up to 5 grandkids now and 3 kids in the area. It's a blessing, and you know this as a proud grandpa yourself. So.
Yep, absolutely. All right, and hey, enjoy the week and go get them at the hearing tomorrow. We'll talk soon.
You bet. Take care. Bye now.